Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
I'm Andy Belanger.
And I'm Becky Clunan. Welcome to Metal Geeks Podcast.
Rock out with your geek out. Did I say that right?
Not George. Balls.
Not George Balls?
This is not George saying balls.
All right. This is not George here not saying balls.
George not here, man.
All right. So welcome to the Metal Geeks coverage of Comic Palooza 2016. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek. And along with me on this evening is...
Was it the voice from the other room?
The voice from the other room. So basically we have a lot of stuff to get through and we needed something to sort of piece it all together. So we decided to sit down and record a few thoughts about the show and sort of introduce what we're going to have. We have a couple of interviews as well as the panel live episode we did from the Microsearch showroom. Panel room, workshop room.
You did it live.
We did it live. So I've been sick for the past week. I got the con crud, so that's why this is in such a delayed state, I guess. So let's talk about our experience at the show. If you don't know, we both work for the con, so it's a little bit of a different experience working for a convention than just going as a regular attendee, you know?
Correct. Oh, definitely. But fun, nonetheless. Fun both ways.
Both ways, yeah. We had a lot of fun still. Did not get to meet a lot of the celebrities that I wanted to meet. My biggest regret, I will say this right now, is I did not get to meet the Rooker.
No, what you really wanted to do is give him some chocolate covered pretzels.
Correct? I did want to give him chocolate covered pretzels. I don't think
I've never had that happen.
Well,
before,
I didn't
ever
see anybody give him chocolate covered pretzels at all. So, but I was looking forward to meeting him, but I actually got in line at one time and I got pulled out to take care of something else. But you got to meet one of the Dixon brothers too, very briefly, but
maybe 15 seconds. Correct.
You got your 15 seconds of
15 seconds of Reedus. There you go. Yeah, I got to meet Norman Reedus. I was in the line for the photo op. So basically, you go in, they rush you in, you know, take your picture, then leave. So I just basically, I shook his hand. I just told him thank you for coming to Kong Palooza. I did the whole faux arm around the shoulder. You know, because usually you don't know if you're supposed to touch somebody or not. And, you know, I looked at the camera, snap, photo was done. I said, thank you. And then I left. And that was the interaction.
That was almost like my interaction with Kevin Smith last time. They're like, all right, you're done. He's like, well, but I'm still talking.
Yeah. So, Kevin Smith is really cool, though.
Yeah.
He would rather talk. Norman's really nice. So.
So my highlights for the whole weekend, first of all, big congratulations to our co-hosts George and Justin from the Comical Podcast.
Yes.
They had a booth for Grey Bear Comics and Speak No Evil, sold out of their preview comic. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited for those guys.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, they had a great location where their booth was, and so they had a great presence. Their whole booth looked good, you know? So it was like, congrats, that's awesome, guys.
I got to read it. I read it yesterday, and it's good. It's only like the first maybe, you know, 8-9 pages of the book, but...
A little sneak preview.
A little sneak preview, yeah.
Yeah, so
exactly
that's always
right.
Good. It just whetted your appetite.
It was cool to see people walking around with their t-shirts for the
yeah,
comic.
Yeah, it's always... You always feel happy for your friends when something like that is successful.
Another thing I was looking forward to was hanging out with Ming Chen again, and he never fails to disappoint. He joined our Saturday. We had a panel called Podcasting 104, The Business of Podcasting. He joined us along with Comical Podcast, my guys, George actually moderated.
My guys.
Dave and George was actually the moderator. We had Craig Price from... Brittle Dave was there, of course.
Yes.
Who else was on? We had the guys from Nerd Food, Sully. I've always wanted to say this. He's not the Unsullied. He's Sully. He's not from Game of Thrones.
I was thinking more Monsters Inc. versus
Sully from. I'm on the Uncharted 4 Sully right now.
That is true. The Troy Baker.
But that was
Sully.
A lot of fun. Ming Chen came in and joined us, and we talked about how not really to monetize your show, but sort of how to get sponsors and get your name bigger. It's more brand recognition type of deal.
Oh, definitely.
That's the business that you need to be in.
It's not money making. It's at least for
some
us,
people,
you
it
know.
Is. Not us. Not as
all right.
Not as low men on the totem pole of podcasting.
Do it because you love it, not because you're going to make thousands and thousands of dollars.
You make hundreds of pennies.
Hundreds and hundreds of half-cent pennies.
No. Yeah, that's true. And we had our panel on Sunday, the Metal Geeks Live panel, which was a lot of fun. We had Philip Swift join us, who is our guest, who has been on the show before. He came down to Comic Palooza to promote the Dark Side of Disney documentary. And he came onto our live podcast. We had different people that were in the room just join in and give us their experience. And we gave away a lot of free shit.
A lot of
swag, as they say. Swag, yo.
A lot of stuff.
We gave a lot of swag away, yo.
No. Wrong swag.
Okay. Not that swag?
No, you're not Justin Bieber.
But what did we give away? We gave away a Slayer, a really limited edition Slayer vinyl. We gave away, thanks to Bedrock City for giving us really cool gift certificates that... You know, we were giving away, you just didn't win. You had to answer. First of all, you had to stump us in questions.
No, we made them work for it.
And then we made them work for it by answering trivia questions. So it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of CDs to give away, that kind of stuff. But I got to say, one of the highlights of my weekend, we've talked about this on the show, that Ming Chen went out of his way and got me an autographed Michael Nesmith photo from a con that he was on a few weeks ago.
Yes, that was awesome. Thank you again, Ming.
Yes, thank you, dude. Then he got us tickets to see Kevin Smith when he was in town. So I had to give him, you know, some kind of way to get back to him, to pay it forward, as I say. So I commissioned my friend Roland, who did my custom Funko Pop, to do one for Ming. And we presented that to him right after that panel on Saturday. And he opened the box. He's like... Is that me?
I was so bummed I missed that, because at the same time I was in line for my photo op.
That's right,
Norman.
It was.
I was so bummed I missed that.
It was a great moment. He really loved it. He tweeted about it, posted about it.
Great.
You know, he's like, now him and Kevin are the only ones with Funko Pops. Everybody else needs to catch up. It's true. One's official. And he made me bring Roland, the artist, over to him at his booth.
Yeah.
So I got to meet this guy. Yeah. He's like, I know people at Funko, so keep on doing what you're doing, basically, is what he told him.
Keep on keeping on.
But the coolest thing for me, being, this is a Metal Geeks podcast, and I am a heavy metal geek.
No.
One of my favorite bands of the last 20 plus years, 25 years, is Fear Factory.
Yeah, I think that was my highlight of the year, too, of the con.
Oh, it was definitely my highlight. So I got to interview Dino a few months ago when they played here for Comic Palooza. And Thursday night, when we set up the booth for my work, we checked into our hotel, which was connected to the convention center. There's not really a lot of places to go to or to eat.
Unless you want to jump in an Uber or jump in a cab.
Right.
Yeah.
But there is a Papacito's inside the hotel.
Yes.
So we decided to eat there with John from the Dogfin podcast and his girlfriend. Let's eat here. At the table next to us was Dino.
Yeah, Dino.
It was a little weird. We're like, hey, look, it's Dino from Fear Factory at the table next to us.
Yeah, it's very surreal. It's like, what?
But Dino. On the way out, I was like, okay, I've got to say hello to him. And he remembered who I was, and he reiterated how excited he was to be here at the show, and Burton was excited, and... The next morning, one of the first things I did, I made a beeline to their booth, and I introduced myself to Burton as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, I took a picture for social media and all that good stuff, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to come back, and I got this drum head that I want to get signed that I bought at your show. And at first, Burton's like, oh, yeah, it's going to cost this much. And then Dino's like, no, he's a good guy. I was like, wow. He actually said, no, Carrie's a good guy. I was like,
that was nice of
him. He knows my name. It's a little weird, man.
Like, whoa.
But yeah, so I brought the drum head. I'm a drum head collector. Really, I am. So like, I have a Gene Hoagland Testament drum head in this room. I have a Paradise Lost. I have, what else do I have?
Lacuna Coil.
I have Dimmu Borgir. I have Enslaved.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of different drum heads, and now I have a Fear Factory one, but this is the coolest part. Every show, Dino told us this before. Before every show, Burton is an artiste.
Artiste.
He will take a blank drum head and draw all over it from whichever city he's in. So when he was in Houston, I remember they did a NASA scene, because Burton's actually a big NASA science nerd as well.
Yes.
So one of our other guys from the show, JJ, got him to do a drum head.
Great friend. Awesome
and
guy.
I totally forgot to bring a drum head, because in my mind, I was going to buy a couple of blank drum heads, one for Burton and one for Nick Menza.
Yeah.
But the whole Nick Menza thing, you know, it sort of threw my mind off of it, so I didn't do it. But luckily, a buddy of mine brought me a blank drum head, went out and got one for me, which I totally owe you, Evan, big time.
Yes.
So I brought it to Burton, and I was like, I would like you to draw something for me on this drum head. And his eyes just lit up. He's like, you want me to draw something for you? And I was like, of course, man.
Heck,
he's like, what do you want? I was like, do whatever you want. It's a blank canvas for you to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And we'll post this in the show notes too, but he did an amazing,
that is cool,
like NASA piece. Like, so imagine like looking outside, looking from the inside of your helmet onto the moon. And the logo for the CP logo was sort of built into there as like the flag, and it has a Fear Factor logo on there, and they signed it. It's an amazing piece.
It is awesome. Yes, many people were jealous whenever he showed it to them.
Oh yeah, I'm still jealous of myself, and I own it. And this led me to actually being able to moderate their panel the next day on Sunday. Nothing beats standing on a stage with Burton next to you, and then Dino next to you. And then Burton making a joke and then like sort of like ribbing you, going, hey, that's a funny joke, right? Yeah. those are surreal moments in your life. But they were super great guys, super
cool.
Really cool. When we first got there, he came up to you. He's like, hey, do you have the drum head?
Yes, yes.
So he wanted to show it to everybody at the panel. So that was my experience in a nutshell. Work and then meeting Fear Factory. That was it for me.
Yeah, no, they were really cool. Burton was just really cool. He just seemed like somebody's like, you just hang out with him and bullshit. So
yep.
I want to hang out with him and bullshit and talk about comic books and video games and
another cool
NASA
thing is co-creator of there's a lot of great comic creators that I really wanted to spend more time with, like Mike Zeck. I didn't get anything signed by him, but I did get to meet some of the Man of Action team.
Yeah,
I got some of my Deadpool Joe Kelly stuff autographed. I got some of my Sex books autographed. I also met, where are you going? Okay. The voice from the other room was trying to become the voice from the other room, so she left and she came back.
Literally. But I gave up.
That was a great experience for me because I didn't tell him to his face, but he was the reason why Deadpool is one of my favorite characters, just the way he wrote it.
Oh, yeah, you were like fanboying. Yeah.
Not to him, but to one of the other guys at the booth.
Yeah, yeah. Which was cute.
Also, Val Myerick was there, who is one of the co-creators of Howard the Duck, and I really wanted to get something from him. And I'm sort of overbuying print for the most part at shows. It's sort of...
We're running out of wall space, to be honest.
We don't have any wall space, but I'd rather buy original art at this point.
Yeah.
For 30 bucks, I got him to do a quick sketch of Howard the Duck throwing the metal sign.
Well, what else would Howard do?
What else would he do?
It's the Metal Geeks podcast.
That's right.
It's like a no-brainer.
That's one of my favorite pieces I actually own now. That's going to be great. We need to get a frame for that and hang that up on the wall.
Yeah.
Excuse me if I cough because I've had the con crud, like I said. What else was exciting? Oh, you got to meet one of your favorite writers who does what's the name of the comic?
I got to meet Jody Houser, who did the Orphan Black, the first series of books, comic books, of course. It's like
she looks like her too,
and she totally looks like she could be Tatiana, one of the clones, one of Tatiana Maslany's, you know. Like a sister or something. Totally looked. It was so hilarious. So I was told, I was like, you know, I really enjoy them. And, you know, we talked about the show a little bit. And I actually picked up a book that she did called Faith. So it looked really cool. She signed it. And so I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But that is something I plan on doing this weekend.
Awesome. Yeah, so, she was really cool.
She was really nice. I got a picture with her. I need to actually find that and post that on my social media. I haven't done that yet. But yeah, that was cool. I really enjoyed that.
Another great artist and writer that I met. First day, Justin introduced me to Andy Bellinger, who's the artist for Southern Cross. And he's a big metalhead.
Yes.
First thing I said, oh yeah, I have a show called Metal Geeks Podcast. He's like, I've got to be a guest on your show. So we took a few minutes on Sunday when... his co-writer, or his actually artist, co-writer, artist sometimes, her name is Becky Cloonan, amazing writer, amazing artist. She's writing for Punisher right now for Marvel, but she co-wrote or worked on Southern Cross with Andy Bellinger. And I'm sorry if I'm saying that in the Texan way, because he's actually French-Canadian, so he pronounced it Bellanger. So I'm saying it totally incorrect.
You're saying it, dude.
But we talked, and we're going to actually get him on the show when we have more time. We'll devote a whole episode to him I think that's going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to play that interview in a few minutes. And I also got to interview one of the celebrity musicians that was there on site. And that, of is...
Mr. Benali.
Mm-hmm.
By the name of Frankie.
Frankie Benali, not Benante.
Not Benante, no.
Not Bello.
No, but that's all right.
But Frankie Benali, he's the leader and the founder of Quiet Riot. If you've never seen the Quiet Riot documentary, we talk about it in the interview. It's a great viewing. It was a lot of fun. Most music documentaries are really boring. This one was it was a lot of fun. It was like really trying to find their new vocalist, who is actually... It's weird because they're playing here next week in Houston, like in Stafford. No. So I'm debating whether to go because I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's not too far from us, so we should, you know.
We could probably just go sit outside in the parking lot and listen to it because we're that close. Seriously.
Well, yeah, the parking lot's so close to the stage and it's outdoors, so.
Yeah, so I think we'll go tailgate and listen to Quiet Riot next
tailgate,
week.
Tailgate, there you go.
Bring some drinks and who else wants to come tailgate at Quiet Riot and not pay to get in? That's what I'm saying.
That's pretty metal, dude.
But the vocalist used to be in a band that I used to love called Love Hate back in the late 80s.
Okay.
Jizzy Pearl is his name. Yeah, we've made fun of his name already on the show.
Interesting.
I saw him in, he was one of the guys at the Sin City Sinners show when I was in
Okay,
Vegas.
I was about to ask that. Okay,
he was
great.
The vocalist for that show, which was cool. But now he's singing for Quiet Riot, so... You know, we want to come on and fill the noise. But Frankie was a really nice guy. He very personable, very excited to be there, meeting his fans, you know, taking pictures, selfies, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird, a lot of strange guests this year. Because, like, right down the walkway, you had a bunch of the, 90s, boy band guys. So, a guy from NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and... 98 Degrees and all that kind of stuff. That's the only time you'll ever hear those names on this show, by the way.
Sure.
And I remember at one point I was talking to Fear Factory, and not that I'm dropping name dropping a lot, but at one point they're like, look over there, dude. It's so weird that the Backstreet Boy guy is right there and we're right here. And Fear Factory had the same exact booth that Gwar had last year.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, you're in hallowed ground here because Gwar was in your spot last year.
Yeah.
They got a kick out of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of neat because I guess the guys, the Backstreet, you know, the Chris Kirkpatrick and AJ McLean and all them, they were promoting a movie that they did called Dead 7, which from what I had heard, it's like Young Guns meets Zombies or Zombies meets Young Guns, kind of a mashup. So
yeah,
we have not seen it yet.
I'll watch it. I mean, I'm always a good for a tongue-in-cheek,
yeah,
a cheesy zombie movie. And if some of them die, it's even better. It was a sci-fi made movie, so it was made for the TV station.
Yeah, which that was kind of funny. Like you said, when we were talking with Burton and Dino, it's like, yeah, you have boy bands over here, then you have metal on this end. It's like, yeah, we're definitely not their target audience.
No,
we're not that generation.
But
that
apparently, they're really nice guys. They're really
nice.
Into their fans, so
yeah.
But the one panel, we only got to see one panel the whole weekend,
yes.
And that's because we made time for it. We got to see the Aliens panel. That was amazing.
There was what 10 people on stage or something.
Yeah, and
it was huge.
Dave Morales did a great job from Fox over here, backstage OL. You know, we had everybody from Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, Paul Reiser, Bill Paxton, Carrie Henn, and Rico Ross. Bunch of the people that actually played the Marines in that movie. And I have not seen that movie in years. I need to rewatch it.
We need to watch that. I was because they had stuff like that. They had Boondock Saints. A lot of the cast in Boondock Saints. So we were, and then they had Kate Beckinsale. So we were trying.
I miss not meeting Kate Beckinsale.
So we were trying to, before the convention started, trying to watch the major things, trying to watch the Boondocks, Aliens.
But I think
Underworld.
I found a new crush though during the weekend.
Oh, I did too. My crush got renewed, so to speak. Now
who's
that I actually met him in person, Burton.
Oh, Burton?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
major
really?
Crush, you know, but whenever Obsolete came out, it just, you know, I'm thinking he's such a cool guy and a nerdy, geeky guy.
At one point,
elevated.
And we will play, we will, I got to clean up the audio, we will have the Fear Factory panel on this episode.
Off.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Just got to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so at one point you're like, I need to fangirl out on him. He's like, this is your last chance, dude.
Yeah.
You got to do it now or forever hold your peace.
Because you fanboyed out on them. So I was like, I need to fangirl out.
I did it during the panel. I said at one point,
yes,
I was like, okay, here's my fanboy moment. you guys are one of my favorite bands ever, Camden.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And they laughed. They're like, okay, great. So, and I think it was a great thing for me to be the moderator. Same thing with like Dave Ellison, because I am a fan of these guys. Yes. If you get anybody else out there and just throw them out there on stage with them, you know, if as a moderator, you have to know your subject.
Correct.
Because if somebody out in the audience is not asking a question, you still have to keep it going or you're going to have silence, and that's not a good show.
Yes. Yeah, if you're knowledgeable in the guest, you can add some questions. You can add some deep cut questions, so to speak.
I think I asked some pretty deep cut questions.
General Joe Schmo wouldn't ask, you know, Burton or Dino.
We talked about like their very first tour ever in a van.
Oh, yeah.
Not down by the river.
Down by the river, darn.
But I think my crush happened over the weekend. You know who I'm talking about. She's a writer.
Yes, you and a few of our other friends.
Yeah.
Correct.
So if you'll hear her coming up on this episode, but Becky Cloonan is now my new comic book crush.
Yeah.
Because she was cool. Awesome. She's a great writer. She's beautiful. And
she's got tattoos.
She got tattoos, and she's a metalhead.
Yes.
She was wearing a Winter Phyllis shirt.
Ah.
I was like, all right, yeah. You are awesome.
You're like, package, total package.
Right. I was like, I asked you to go away for a moment. Just go away. I need to be alone here. And you walked away. No, that did not happen.
I didn't do that whenever I saw Burton, so no. You know.
But you touched me a lot more than I shook it. Like, he gave me a hug. You're like, I want to touch you more now.
Whatever.
He gave me more hugs. You're like, it was like, the Burtonness was like rubbing off from me to you or something.
No, I don't think so, but whatever. Right.
But I want to give a big thanks, of course, to all the podcast viewer guys are listening. This is the second year we've done the Comic Palooza podcast partnership program, and I think you guys did a killer job promoting the show, promoting your podcast, promoting Comic Palooza. So I want to run down the list really quick. So we have the Comic Book Boom Boom.
Cool name.
Yeah, Comical Podcast, of course, Dogfin Radio, Bri-Fi Podcast, The War Pod, The Nerdery, Inchcast, Reality Check with Craig Price, Space City Nerd Podcast, Nerdy Bitches, Nerd Foo, The Commentators, God Hates Comics, Caster Quest. Was great to meet those guys during our panel. Real Hipster Army, Cult 45. Great job, guys. Great to meet some of you. Who else was there? The Rebel Radio Podcast, I Love Flavor. Jennifer Bruce did a great job over the weekend. She was cosplaying the whole weekend. So Zero Fortitude, Slurred Nerd, Sarah and Cassie's Nerdy Adventures, Legend of S.H.I.E.L.D., the CCP Comics Creator Podcast, and something called Metal Geeks Podcast. So, yep, thanks again to you guys. And I think
and
it's
gals.
Time. And gals,
not
I'm
just
sorry.
Guys.
Did you have any last minute observations about the show?
No, I think it was a good time. I think it was run really well. You know, it
run really smoothly. There was so much stuff going on. It was a really smooth show. Everybody got to do what they want. There was so much to do. You didn't get to do everything. You have to go into there. It's like going to Disney World for 3 days. You know you're not going to be able
exactly.
to do everything. Pick out the things you want to do and make a conscious effort to do those. Well, and you'll be fine. You'll be happy.
Even if the con went 4 days, it's still there's so much to do. They have so many different panels. It targets numerous types of audiences, so there's so many things.
I did pick up a couple of Funko Pops, of course.
Of course.
I got some of the Deadpool ones that I've been looking for, like Slapstick, and that was a lot of fun.
One of the things I thought was really cool was NASA was here.
NASA had a big presence, and
that
a lot
awesome.
Of people.
I mean, it's a space city. It
they had a replica of the Mars rover. We can actually... No, they have a replica of the Orion, but they had the Mars rover.
Oh, okay.
Where certain people were allowed to get into it, and they would go on a little trip.
I
know Burton
gone.
Was one of them. He was excited
nice.
For that.
See, that was cool. I mean,
apparently Burton's dad worked at NASA, because he's from Houston originally. Yeah. A lot of his family were in town this weekend, but his dad worked at NASA growing up, so that's
he
where he got the nerd.
Yeah, that's where the nerd, the love of NASA was, definitely. Definitely. But that was cool. They had a little kid section area, which I thought was great. It's a big stress reliever. You have to tell them all. It's
okay, so they had a kid's area, a lot of inflatable, you know, bouncy houses.
Balls
and
to climb.
Yeah, all that kind of good stuff.
Slides.
And my works booth was like right next to it, so we got to see a lot of this stuff when I was there.
It was great.
And there was this one thing where it's sort of like, think of like American Gladiators or like, it was like a big spinning, it was a big round pit, basically a inflatable pit. Kids would get in there, and then they had this circle, like this,
it's like arms that were sticking
arms
out of
that would
thing.
go that would circle around, and somebody was having a grand old damn time knocking these kids on their damn asses.
So, yeah, there was like two different levels. So you either have to jump over the arm or crouch under the arm.
There's this one girl that was working it. Every time a kid would like get up and sort of get back up, she would knock them right on their ass again.
So that was a good stress reliever.
It was a good stress reliever because it was damn funny. I'm sorry. Sorry, kids, but...
Not sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. But seeing your asses getting knocked over, that's funny.
They were having a good time. I saw them laughing, so yeah. It was all in good fun.
Till the girl got hit in the face and her glasses broke.
No.
I don't know. Little nerdy girl lost her glasses. Oh,
hey.
How sad.
Don't hate on the nerdy girls.
But I think that's about it. Let's go over and say a few things. We talked about our sponsor during our live show, so we don't have to do that again. But follow us on all the social medias, the Twitter, the Facebooks, the Instagrams. Again, thanks to Bill.
We miss you.
Kill Bill or Hear Bill? You'll hear Bill on this very episode.
That's his name now, Kill Bill.
Kill Bill. That is a good name for Bill.
His nickname.
We have Brutal Dave, now we have Kill Bill.
And what was George?
Not so brutal George. We came up with a couple ones. There's one, I can't remember what it is, we have to listen to it. It's on the podcast panel.
Okay, correct.
That we came up with. We got to remember what that is. But find us again on metalgeeks.net, iTunes, subscribe to us there. You will find both of our shows. I just put out a new episode of MSR Cast a couple days ago, so some more metal for your ear holes. You can now find us on Metal Onslaught Radio, which is now on demand. You can go to that website and listen to us anytime you want. Pod Bros, Houston Nerdcasting Collective, which did a great panel on Friday night, Altness, Nerdbong, ESO Podcast, and of course, MetalGeeks.net. Unfortunately, the Blast Syndicate has sort of thrown in the towel for the moment. They're not updating right now. It might come back one day if the guys running it have more time, but I look forward to helping them any way I can. So,
yeah, definitely.
If you guys want to come back, we will help you. You know, you hear that, Victor? You hear that, Rock? Do it.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint.
Wink, wink.
I think that's pretty much it. Thank you to Comic Luther for having the podcast available there and for inviting Metal Geeks and for being cool enough to let me hang out with Fear Factory. That made my weekend.
That did make our weekend. Made both our weekends.
And I guess let's get into the interviews real quick. So we have two interviews to play. We have our interview with Frankie Benali, and then we have our interview with Becky Cloonan and Andy Bellinger.
Fancy.
I'm French now. And I have one last thing to say to you.
Keep it geeky.
Keep
it metal.
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 Metal. No T in metal.
No T. T is silent.
Enjoy, guys. Good morning, everyone. We are live at the show floor of Comic Palooza, and I am here with Frankie Benali, drummer extraordinaire from Quiet Riot. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man.
Well, thank you for being here at Comic Palooza. This is probably a much different event than you've done. You do things like NAMM and events like those, right?
Yeah, this is the first time I've done one of these at this level, this large. They've been after me for a while to do it, and it's been impossible because I'm always on tour. This is the only free weekend that I have until like October. So,
how has the experience been for you so far?
It's been great. The fans have been great. I'm having a great time watching everybody all dressed up. Everybody's in a great mood. No issues, no hassles, and the fans have been absolutely wonderful and supportive.
You met any other celebrities that you're geeking out on?
No. I mean, I've met a lot of them, but I don't geek out.
So, this is a big geek convention, comic book convention. What do you geek out on personally?
What did I get?
What do you get a kick out of?
I just enjoy seeing so many people enjoying themselves in something that's of great interest to them, and they dress the part and they walk the walk, and it's really a lot of fun. For me, it's like Mardi Gras without the beads.
Right, there you go. So let's talk about Quiet Riot. I've watched the documentary. It's an amazing documentary. Let's tell people a little bit about that.
It's called Now You're Here, There's No Way Back. And it chronologizes the history of Quiet Riot from the very early beginnings until real time at the point that the film was made. And it's been very therapeutic for me because, you know, I lost Kevin in 2007. And the film has given me an opportunity to look at our history and put everything that has happened in perspective. It's now out on DVD. And the great thing about the DVD is it's got over an hour's worth of bonus features that the theatrical release didn't have. And that's available at QuietRiotMovie.com.
Is that a
the experience of doing that documentary, was it a very cathartic thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of it I've laughed hysterically at some of the stuff that was going on, and some of the stuff was also very painful to watch because I experienced it. The director, producer, Regina Russell, did a wonderful job on it because she had to figure out how do you put three decades of history in you know, less than 2-hour film.
That is very hard to do. So what's going on with the band right now? I know you're about to go on tour. Let's talk about the lineup that is currently Quiet Riot.
Yeah, we're continuing to tour. We've been on tour for the last 3 years. Just played Toronto last week, and I've got San Francisco and San Antonio coming up, and on a couple of festivals in Europe, going to South America, and it's been going great. Chuck Wright, who's been in and out of the band for decades, is on bass. Alex Gross, who's been on guitar, he's been in the band for 10 years. And at the moment, Jizzy Pearl is singing.
I just witnessed Jizzy Pearl when I was in Vegas last month with the Sin City Center. That was a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah, like I said, you know, Quiet Riot is a band, you know, you should never be surprised with Quiet Riot when it happens, because always something happens with this band.
Very cool. So you are coming back here to Houston as well on a tour.
Yeah, we'll be at the Pub Gardens in Stafford a week from this Thursday.
I will definitely be there. I actually live in Stafford myself, so it'll be a lot of fun.
I look forward to seeing you there.
So what is next after this? After the tour, any plans for new music or anything?
We're going to be doing a new record in the fall and release it sometime early in 2017.
Well, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of the weekend here at Comicpalooza. Any final words to your fans?
No, listen, this is a great event. I highly support it. And, you know, if you can make it, come on down every year.
Once again, live from the show floor of Comicpalooza, we are here with Andy Bellinger and Becky Cloonan, who are the creators behind the book Southern Cross. How you guys doing?
I am well, thank you.
I'm excellent as well.
So we are sharing one mic with three people, so this is going to be a lot of fun. I love the series, and I wanted to talk to you because the first thing we start talking about is heavy metal. And, of course, we are the Metal Geeks podcast, so, of course, we are metal geeks. So let me ask you this, guys, first. How's your experience at Comicpalooza been this weekend?
It's been amazing. I've had lots of fun. My favorite stuff is that you guys have NASA set up, and there's, like, you know, I got to, on the first day, go inside the Orion capsule there and... check out the exoskeleton stuff, and you got like robots playing sports and stuff. It's really cool.
There's a lot more to Comic Blue than just comic book guests and celebrities. There's so much, the makerspace and just everything around here. It's a very different show.
Yeah, totally. And that's what's made it pretty exciting. It's pretty rad.
Have you got a chance to walk around and maybe meet any other celebrities?
Well, yeah, in the green room, we got to meet celebrities. We saw Norman Reedus today, who Becky calls the King Drumstick.
I call him the King Drumstick because he's greasy and delicious, just like a fried chicken drumstick.
Okay. I'll just agree to disagree on that one, but we're good.
Have you seen him?
I have seen him.
Like, in person?
Yeah, I've seen him in person.
He's a handsome man.
He's pretty good looking. He's a fairly good looking
dude. I'm actually really stoked about his Kojima game.
Oh, I know.
That they...
I was really bummed that PT fell apart.
I did. I got to play the demo for that. But somebody was actually here in cosplay as the new character from that new Hideo Kojima game.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool.
That was quick.
So they were just in Norman Reedus cosplay. They were just dressing up as a King Drumstick.
Yeah.
That's basically what was happening.
Pretty much naked holding a fake little baby.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Norman Fetus.
snap!
Terrible. Great. I love that. So let's talk about your book first, Southern Cross. Tell me what's the elevator pitch on the book.
Do you want to take that one?
The elevator pitch? Well, yeah. you're the writer.
Right. So I would say it's a murder mystery set on a spaceship is how it starts out, but it gets kind of weird. So if you're into Agatha Christie and Event Horizon and Aliens and Lovecraft, I think this is kind of like a good progression of like where the story goes.
You had me at all of those.
Yeah. See? There you go.
What's next for it? I mean, how far do you have it planned, actually, in your mind?
Andy sent me a text, like, a few weeks ago, and he's like, can we do this forever? And I said yes. So, by text agreement, forever, I guess. The first 6 issues are fairly self-contained, because when we started, Image wanted an ongoing, but Andy and I weren't sure, like, how long we'd be able to sustain it for. So we said, let's take 6 issues that could... potentially go on forever. Like, let's create a world that we'd want to work in but let's create a story that ends at 6 with the potential to go on. So when we start up again at issue 7, which comes out September 14th, by the way, so issue 7, new story arc, all new characters. There's only one returning character, but it's a new location, new, you know, we kind of pick up where we left off, but it's like a new, a whole new set of problems.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we'll probably go for, I think our initial thing was to do 3 trades, so roughly 15 to 18 issues, but like I see us doing like another 3 on top of that, so maybe 6. So,
how is it doing your own owner-created, you know, properties now? I mean, you're with Image on it, so you get to have a lot more control over what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. This is maybe the most ideal situation I think you can get in comics, where we're working on what we want to draw. You know, we're not influenced by some big crossover with something. We're not held back by limitations of what characters we can use. Everything we're doing is what basically whatever we want. So that's pretty much the ideal, perfect situation.
I'm looking at another one of your books that I just bought, is Black Church. Tell me what that one's about.
Black Church is like, the elevated pitch for that is basically it's the omen in medieval times with Dracula's parents.
I love that pitch.
That's heavy metal.
Yeah, so it's kind of like my ode to heavy metal and horror movies and, you know, sort of like Game of Thrones sort of stuff. So the book centers around the Dracula's parents, and Dracula is like the coming of Damien sort of thing.
Amazing. And it comes in almost like a vinyl presentation. So like a 7-inch.
Yeah, it comes out like in a 45 record sleeve. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And let's talk about what you're doing, Becky. So what do you have coming up next? What are you working on?
More Punisher, more Gotham Academy, more Southern Cross. I'm also probably going to be reprinting my mini comics as a soft cover trade. So that's kind of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah. Doing a lot of poster work, some illustration stuff. Just keeping busy, you know.
So let's get into the real topic. Let's get into the heavy metal stuff.
Yeah.
I can see you were in a Winterfella shirt, so I'm impressed. Yes, I'm looking at the pins. You got Power Troop. I just saw them a few months ago. They're amazing. Great. So, favorite bands of all time?
That's a hard question.
That's for metal.
I know it's like naming your favorite kids, but...
Yeah, it's always like changing for me. I mean, the one constant is always Sabbath.
Yeah, I just did actually the poster for the end for their final tour. So that was kind of like a dream job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Southern Cross is pretty much named after Sabbath tune.
Yeah, oh, Southern Cross is Sign of the Southern Cross. Contested people, you know, I love Dio. I'm a huge fan of Dio Sabbath, and I think that's kind of contested in, you know, I've gotten into arguments. I started dating a guy, and he's like, Dio Sabbath, no. And I was like, this is going to be a problem if you can't come to terms with this.
You know, personally, I'm sort of over Ozzy completely. So even listening to old Ozzy at Sabbath, I'm like,
I just saw them in concert. So their last performance in Montreal, in Canada. And I got to say, Ozzy was awesome.
Was he? I've heard.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I've seen videos of him where he looked like a train wreck. Yeah. But in Montreal, the show I just saw, he was phenomenal.
That's great to hear.
I didn't make it through. I'm not sure if I made it through the whole concert. I got so smashed at that show. We were having so much fun. It was amazing. And Tony Iommi is like my favorite guitarist.
He's praise Iommi, man.
Yeah.
We've had like 3 different conversations about Tony Iommi today.
Oh, man.
My podcast live, and then Fear Factory was talking about him, now you guys. So.
Yeah, that means he's going to appear at some point.
Yeah, he's just going to be coming around the corner.
Was he diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah.
I think he's like not long for this world. So I think people are really starting to be like, recognize what a god Tony is. And I mean, when you talk about Dio, right? When Tony and Dio got together, Tony's guitar, as you're going into the like late 70s, 80s, when he started getting faster and faster and, you know, those ballads, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love the Dio era.
Like,
Sabbath.
Whenever anyone's like, oh, Dio, I'm like, whether you like Dio or not, Tony Iommi turns into a god in that time period.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
So what kind of underground stuff are you guys into?
I love Domo out of Spain. It's kind of like that psych space rock stuff.
Okay.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they're it's all instrumental stuff.
Yeah, instrumental stuff. I love that stuff a lot. Oh, God. Listen to so many bands. It's, like, hard to be put on the spot.
Yeah. What was I sending you earlier?
You sent me Tau Cross.
Tau Cross, which they is amazing. Really great. I just saw them at Roadburn.
Oh, really?
They're really
they're
great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, members of Voivod, who I just saw, actually. Voivod. I just saw Voivod. In
I love Voivod.
I know. It's amazing. That's why moving to Austin's been, like, it's been so good, just because there's not just a great local scene and, you know, a lot of really good bands out
Who's
of Austin.
Who's that band that I love that we saw in Montreal? I'm blanking on their name all of a sudden. I'm having a brain fart. They have those awesome videos.
Oh, we saw Behemoth.
Behemoth. Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah, the Satanist was like
that was
one
maybe
of my...
one of the best live metal shows I've ever seen.
They put on their performers.
Holy, wow.
Yeah, they were so much fun.
That was
actually
on fire.
I saw Winterfellows with Behemoth in London like a few years ago because they opened for them.
I miss bands that do that. They put on the spectacle of a live show.
Oh, yeah, I love Abbath too. He's so awesome.
The new album is so good.
Oh, it's so good. Warriors is so kick ass.
Yes, it is.
That song is so deadly.
Yeah, it's a cool album too because it's kind of a departure. Like some of the songs you listen, you can hear Motorhead in there. Yeah. You can hear some like, yeah.
Abbath is just like having fun on this album.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna do whatever I want without the stigma of having to be what I was before and immortal kind of thing. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
and people that don't understand that band, you know, people want to progress and try different styles. You know, they get stuck in that. Oh, it doesn't sound like Immortal.
That's
not important anymore.
I think he was probably done with that too.
Yeah. Exactly right. So what's coming up next for you guys?
Well, I got a few more years of Southern Cross for sure.
He's wrestling now.
I'm wrestling now.
The other day, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm wrestling now. That's fun. That's
There's
really cool.
Upstairs, you should run up.
I heard that.
His debut is at Heavy MTL, like the metal festival up there. That's where Andy's going to be.
Yeah, so the 3-day heavy metal festival, Heavy MTL in Montreal, they have wrestling in between
Which
shows,
is actually
like
almost,
bands.
I was going to say, like the wrestling bit is kind of the best part of the festival. Not to knock the festival and what they do, but the fact that there's wrestling there, I was talking to some friends about it. I was like, you have to come up and see the wrestling because it's like, you know. Metal Festival, it's good, but the wrestling puts it, like, over the top. It's so good.
Do you have a wrestling name yet?
Yeah, I wrestle under the animal Bob Anger.
I like that.
So, I'm kind of a cross between all wrestling animals. So I'm kind of like a cross between Animal from Road Warrior and George the Animal Steel when I'm in the ring.
You're like Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Kraven the Hunter, but wild. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time. I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate you guys for being here in Houston at Comicpalooza.
Yeah, you bet.
Where can people find you? Any last words to your fans?
Oh, I mean, if you get online and just look up our names on Google, you can. If you really want to follow us, follow our Instagrams. So add Andy Belanger and add Becky Cloonan. You can like that is your Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll be able to pretty much follow our entire lives off of our Instagrams.
Mostly sketches.
Sketches, yeah.
And I said your last name probably in the most Texas way possible, I'm sure.
It's okay. It's fine.
Well, we've heard worse.
Yeah, okay. It was pretty good. I didn't notice, so that's probably good.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Last word, Becky?
I don't know. Like, I hope we all make it to 2017, because this year is probably going to kill
crazy.
Us. We're probably going to die.
One of our best friends died this year. It's been a shit year. Wow.
It's been weird. It's been a really good year, but for people dying, it's been really bad.
Chekhov from the new Star Trek got crushed by his own car last night.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's crazy. There's someone like every day.
The old Chekhov is here.
Yeah. That's what we were just talking about that.
Unreal.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
But the last thing we say on every show to all of our guests is we have two things to say. We say keep it geeky and keep it metal.
Okay.
So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, hi.
Hey, how we doing? Hey, Carrie.
Where is Carrie? There he is.
There he is. All right.
All right.
Are we ready?
I was born ready.
Doing it live?
Doing it live.
Doing it live. To tape. To recording devices.
Wait, what?
The recording.
Oh, I was like, they're not listening to the recording.
Who's ready for a live show?
Woo!
All right.
Y'all look excited.
We got to do it how we do every time. Every time we start it. So 5, 4, 3, 2.
Comical balls.
Ah. Yeah, we changed it up. So welcome to the live podcast of the Metal Geeks from Comicpalooza. Welcome. Everybody clap.
Welcome, everybody. Hey. Thank you for being here.
So as you can see from this smorgasbord of free stuff to give away.
A barrage of stuff.
Anytime, you guys can come up here, ask us questions a little bit, and we have lots of stuff to give away.
The show's going to be about you guys.
Yeah, so anytime you ask us a question, you get something.
Right. And if you stump one of us, you get Two things.
Oh, we're doing
get a better prize, actually.
You might win a lot of shit, because I'm stupid, so you might stump me a lot.
So first of all, let's introduce ourselves. I am one of your co-hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
George Tripsis.
And this is Dave.
And we have a very special guest co-host with us this episode. We have Mr. Philip Swift, the director of Dark Side of Disney. Everybody give it up.
Hi, everybody.
All the way from New York City to hot-ass Houston.
New York City.
Yeah, I have been hiding in the convention hall the entire time. I think I stepped outside once and just said, nope.
Yeah. We put some stuff out in the car earlier. We're like, yeah, no. Let's go back inside of the AC.
Like, does your skin just ignite in flames as soon as you go outside?
I was just saying, I was like Cassidy from Preachers. But they do a good job on that. Especially on the show, I think they've done a good job of just being like, you know what, okay, he can go outside.
Yeah, they're playing really fast and loose with the vampire rules there, aren't they?
So let's talk about everybody's experience this weekend. What's been the most exciting thing for you guys?
Well, you starting with me, or you want to just start with everyone else? I'll come last. How about that?
No comment.
It's generous of you.
That's what all the ladies say.
As usual, because I also am an exhibitor here, most of my con experience is seen from the inside of a booth. So, but it's been a good one. We've had a really good time down at the Geekazoid booth in the Artist Alley, 2333. Come by, see us. And, a lot of great energy at Comic Palooza. I think everybody's really amped for it. And, everyone's so excited. All the artists that I've talked to.
Yeah.
I went around the artist hall this morning and talked to a bunch of the artists that I know. And everyone's like, man, I'm so glad to be here. Everybody's seems to be doing really well, so I'm not hearing complaints. I'll put it that way.
It's been a lot of fun. Let's talk. What about you, Philip?
It's been great. I've always been a nerd, and this is actually only the second convention I've ever gone to, and it just blows me away by how much of a nerd I'm not when I get to see people who are really like fully ensconced.
Was your first con New York City Comic Con?
No, I went to an animation convention in last October because Dana Snyder, who's the voice of Master Shake on Aqua Teen.
He was here last year.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
We hung out with him a lot.
He is very accessible. He's so and he wants to hang. If you have a drink and a cigarette, he's ready to hang out all night.
He is a trip.
That's
dude.
Right.
He's hilarious.
Did he do the voice for you?
He's in the Dark Side of Disney talking about drinking around Epcot and stuff, and it was great. So he invited me after seeing the film and liking it to Animate Miami, and we had a blast. And then the artist who did the cover for the film here, he is a Houston-based guy who's a friend of Dana Snyder's. So, but
was it Carrie?
No, it's a guy named Josie DeVora, and I don't have his booth number, I would say it, but he's in Artist Alley today. But my favorite thing so far, I've been stuck at the booth. Like I'm at the Microsearch booth. If you guys want to come by and say hi, we're right across from the mech core, where you can get inside of a giant walking mech and punch each other in the face or something. But it's been really nice hanging out at that booth and like getting to know the local film commission. Like I'm sitting there next to like the Houston Film Commission,
right.
And they're all kind of great, cool people. The one guy, and I keep missing his last name, Joe, is a local.
Grisafi, yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He's a great guy, super nice. He finally got his Atari hooked up.
He's working now.
The conjoined Atari 2600 game, which is based on one of his horror films.
An Atari? No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
It's this wood grained box that we slam cartridges into and they don't work. But, yeah, it's been great just hanging out with the local film people. I've really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. Carrie, would you like to go or you want me to go?
I just had an amazing experience. I'm a huge fan of Fear Factory, and I just left their booth. I actually found out today, or actually late last night, that I'm going to moderate their panel at 2 p.m. today.
That's
awesome. And
you did something similar last year, right?
Dave Ellison from Megadeth, yeah. That was it was one of those how the hell did I get here moments, and that's what I'm going to be like today. I'm like, how the hell do they know my name?
And have sweaty palms and stuff.
I'm going to just be not be able to talk very well. I'm just going to, open it up to the questions from the crowd because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Just going to be staring into their eyes. It's like, I love your music so much.
But Burton, he's an amazing artist, and he actually, I'm a big collector of, autographed drum heads, and he created a drum head and drew on it and everything for me. It was an amazing thing, and I think that's my favorite thing this whole weekend. That and Val Myrick, who's the co-creator of Howard the Duck.
That's awesome.
I got him to do a sketch for me, $30 for a head sketch of Howard the Duck doing the metal song.
That's very cool.
And I was like, it's keeping it geeky and keeping it metal, right?
There you go.
There you go.
That's our motto.
About George, how's it been?
What? Oh, for me.
Your turn.
My turn. You know that saying, always a bridesmaid, never a bride? That's exactly what it felt like for me this year. I am now becoming the bride because I'm finally behind a table for the first time at a show. I've always been a guest, like a person going to a con or working at a con. I've never been a vendor before, so it's a very surreal experience. And now that me and Justin Corbett made this comic book, it's very cool that...
Wait, what's the name of the comic book?
Speak No Evil, which we're giving away like a VIP pack to somebody today. Hopefully y'all are excited. I'm excited.
Wait, is it free?
Yeah, it's
then
free.
It's good.
And, yeah, it's it's signed.
It's signed.
For free.
Wow.
It has my name on it.
So I'm going to open it up to some of our friends of the show. Let's get Bill up here. Yeah, come on.
Oh, wow.
There's a mic right here for you. Come over here.
Take center stage, sir.
Instagram magician.
Yeah, Bill is our Instagram and our social media
mojo.
Mojo. Pop mojo.
Hence the name.
So how has your experience at the show been? What have you done?
It's been great. I've been running from panel to panel, covering all the guests getting doing their Q&As so for
Bill's helping out with the Comic Palooza social media
the
as well.
Doing the I've just been posting on the Houston Comic Palooza Instagram, if you're following that. And it's just been great.
What have you done personally? What's been your favorite thing?
Well, you know, they say no pics, no proof and all that.
Right.
I rode up an elevator with Darth Vader. I rode down an elevator with Chekhov.
Whoa.
So you can check that off your
list.
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
Did y'all end up on the flight deck?
No.
No, the poop deck.
It's the poop deck. Holodeck. There we go. Holodeck.
The holodeck.
Yeah. I did.
Crotch candy?
I actually have Ford Horse Eccles Hotch crotch candy.
Crotch candy.
From the comical pot.
I took pictures of him while he was putting it in his crotch.
So that kept warm in his crotch? I don't want any of that candy.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
But, yeah, we've been having a great time. I still haven't had time to go down and get autographs or shop the floor very much. I still got to get by to pick up my Speak No Evil.
Yeah. Located at which booth?
1900.
There you go.
Hope to see me there.
Well, I got to get it signed. So
I forgot to mention, one of the other great moments was Joe Kelly.
Oh, yeah. I met him, too. He was awesome.
My favoritest, Deadpool, my favoritest Deadpool writer of all time.
Is that a new word you're creating, favoritist?
He's my most favoritist. So if you're
just mushing two words together.
If you're a fan of the movie, Deadpool movie, you are a fan of Joe Kelly right there.
It was based on his books.
It's very close to his writing style and the tone that he took with that character, which is my favorite.
I was at the Man of Action panel with Duncan Rollio, Joe Kelly, Joe Casey, and Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal. Not Seagal, but Seagal.
Yeah.
No relation.
No relation.
No arms were broken.
No.
They were talking about how much the Deadpool was true to the character, and they really don't like X-Men Apocalypse.
I didn't like it either.
We've had that discussion. We're going to move on from that. Listen to the last episode
of
the show.
I made Carrie cry last time we talked about
that. A little bit. So let's move on to Justin over here from Comical Podcast and your...
My co-writing partner, Business and Crime.
What's up, everybody?
Whoop, whoop.
So what am I talking about here?
Talk about your experience at the show.
It's been very similar to George's, honestly. We've been sitting behind the booth together for the most part, promoting the book. We came here with 125 books, and when we came up to the panel, we only had four left. So we pretty much sold out, which is awesome.
I need one. I still need my copy. I haven't bought mine yet.
You better hurry. There's only four left.
There's only like four left, man.
A whole new one.
But yeah, I mean, we got to talk to Joe Kelly and Joe Casey, which is pretty awesome. I got them to sign all my stuff. I talked to Megan Hetrick for a few minutes. Hung out with Andy Bellinger quite a bit Friday, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, that was cool. I forgot. He was behind us for a little
bit. I'm doing an interview with him later. I'm going to buy some of his stuff, get autographed. Him and, what's his name?
What was the name of the comic that he does again?
He does
Southern Cross.
Southern Cross.
Very good comic, by the way. Yeah.
We're actually going to have commission him to do a cover for us for the second issue of the book.
Oh, very cool.
So, pretty excited about that.
Hey, breaking news here.
Yeah. Really excited to talk to Becky Cloonan. Yes. We've been friends on Facebook for quite a while. But
oh, yeah, she's here today, too.
So, that'll be fun.
All right, so let's move on to our next friend of the show. Let's get Miguel over here. He has a
Horsticles.
You put food right in his mouth?
AKA Merman.
Nothing.
AKA.
And what? Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Dad shirt. What a better way to spend Father's Day than at a con, right?
Yeah, listening to us babble on and bullshit.
It's It's Houston, Babylon. So how was, how was your experience been, sir?
It's been pretty good. I was here with my older boy yesterday. We had a blast trying to help out selling the comic. Went around, took a lot of pictures with the fans and enjoyed it. Met a lot of interesting cosplayers.
Yeah, Miguel's been very helpful bringing crowd to our table.
Always look at his Facebook pictures because you get some interesting pictures in that in your horse costume.
Nice. I had to mix in more males this year because the wife was like, why are your pictures with big boob women?
Because you're at a con.
That's what happens at cons.
Exactly. That's why the older kid liked coming yesterday. It's like, did you see that power girl? Like, what?
Yeah, I saw that power girl.
I hadn't seen her. What's going on here?
Did you see that Wonder Woman yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that was a sight to see.
Did you see the Psylocke?
No.
Be glad it was a guy.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
What's a Psylocke? No, I'm just kidding.
So this is a big surprise, but I have one of my old friends here in the audience, and he's going to come up here right now. He's coming up. Oh, coming up, Mark.
Don't be embarrassed. We're all friends here. Everyone's my friend today.
Oh, by the way, how are you going to grab me after I just came back from the parking lot?
That's the way I like to hear you.
Nice.
I love the heavy breathing, Miguel.
Yeah, right.
Was it?
Mark is one of my oldest friends. I've known him since, like, what, junior high sometime.
Pretty
so
much, yeah.
Let's talk about your experience. Is this a regular attendee, not working a booth, not working, just having fun?
I was really surprised how big it's gotten. It's been a couple of years since I've been here, so
that's what she's
kind of surprising. Yeah. I walked in, and I see all the booths and the things that I wanted to see before are now here. One cool thing is my girlfriend and I were waiting in line at Starbucks, and supposedly Norman Reedus' assistant came up and asked if I'd buy him a coffee real quick and gave me some crazy quad venti something. I don't know what the hell it was. Probably screwed it up because we followed her back just to make sure it was actually Norman Reedus' assistant. And sure enough, we saw her coming back. It looked like the same coffee, probably a different one because I think I really screwed up the order.
But I think there's a Boondocks panel today.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hoping I didn't get it fired. That's my only concern. But hey, whatever. She let me keep the change too.
Wait, there's a call you back.
There was a fire?
Huh?
There was a fire?
No, he didn't get fired.
She didn't get fired from her job because I screwed up his coffee.
She should have got in line, man. That's her job.
Yeah.
Passing it on to no other stranger.
She passed the buck on.
I got the change. That's all I got.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Was it a $100 bill?
No, it was a $20.
Oh, lame.
But I ended up getting $10 off of a knife I bought, so there you go.
Sweet. Actually, then you can say it was partially bought by Norman Reedus, is what you can say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know we have some
Norman Reedus' coffee.
Now, I know we have some podcasters in the room. Raise your hand if you're a fellow podcaster.
Whoop, whoop, wait, what? There we go.
Come on up here.
All
you're wearing a Speak No Evil shirt.
I mean, we're always putting that guy on the spot.
Where'd you get that shirt from?
From my booth.
I don't know, this little website called Kickstarter.
Ah.
No, it was Gray Bear Comics.
But introduce yourself to
not Gay Bear.
I'm Josh from the Nth Cast.
Right.
And
talking to the mic, you know, you're a professional now.
All right.
There you go.
This is like the second year that we've been here at Comicpalooza, and it is getting bigger every year. And
that's what she said.
every year?
Repeat.
Every
joke,
year.
Man.
Every year. Man, those are some pills.
Those are pills. They take a year to work.
I tried taking those pills, but he doesn't want to swallow them. I don't. Anyway. So
that's a painful image I don't want to see again.
Yeah, I have that image in my mind now.
I love the fact that it's a little bit later this year because Friday was a lot bigger than it was in previous years, being one day less this year, which I guess is good for those of us that
makes it less tiring, that's for sure.
Ooh, that fourth day, you're really dragging ass.
But, yeah, you really are.
As a vendor, I love and hate that fourth day.
Do you? Yeah. It's a love hate. Yeah. But we've met a lot of cool people. I love the makers area.
The makerspace is amazing here this year.
The layout is phenomenal, I think, this year. Really kind of forces people to walk through everything, and I think that gives equal chance to all the exhibitors.
The NASA experience here is amazing.
It's great, yeah. I mean,
the Mars rover is here. You can actually get a ride on it if you know the right people.
Now, do we have actual astronauts walking around?
Right. They're at the booth, yeah.
Yeah.
They're actually, at that NASA booth.
You can go, and that's amazing to me. That's something we should have in Houston, which Houston sometimes gets shortchanged in that department, which is ridiculous to me.
NASA doesn't have money anymore, that's why.
Well, there's that. We should start a Kickstarter for NASA.
For NASA?
NASA should do an Indiegogo page something like that, or GoFundMe page.
Yeah. So
where is their marketing campaign?
I don't know.
You should be applying today.
NASA does have some amazing Hawaiian shirts with the logo on it downstairs.
So. Really? I might get one.
I know.
I'm a fan of Hawaiian shirts.
So I'm sad that it's about to end, but I can't wait for next year.
Yep.
I do think it's great. I agree with you. I mentioned something on Twitter about it yesterday, how awesome it is that not just NASA's here, but there's such an emphasis on maker spaces and builders. I'm totally into that whole like kind of hacker culture kind of thing. It's fantastic, and I'm super stoked that Comic Palooza has put the effort into bringing all those people out and focusing.
And it's one guy too that's really founding that. It's Jason Heinbach, who's the actually guy who brought me into the organization like 3 or 4 years ago.
That's great, man.
And he does a great job on outside the box experiences you can't get anywhere else at a Comic Con. Nobody else does that. So I have one more person I wanted to invite on, and he has a camera in his hand right now. That's Matt. Come on. But,
like, there's a lot of people here with cameras, bro.
I know, right?
So, hey, Matt.
This is a surprise.
So give us your experience as a photographer for Comic Palooza. And you're an old friend of the show, so an old friend of ours. So how has your experience been?
This year has been all right. I didn't take on too much, like, in the
like last
few
year.
Years. Yeah. Especially last year.
Yeah.
But it's focused on mostly photography this year, and it's been pretty good. Of course, Kerry brought me on a few years ago, so owe it all to him, basically. But this year has been good. Actually gotten pretty cool experiences.
Who's been your favorite to take pictures of so far?
The funniest one.
Besides me. Besides of course.
Carl Weathers yelled at me. Carl's Friday, what Friday.
Did he like yell like Apollo Creed stuff to you or something?
Nah, grumpy old man yell.
Ah, shit.
I asked his agent if it was cool if I took pictures, just to make sure, because a lot of them are prima donnas about pictures. And I was literally on my last picture I was going to take. Good setup. He was talking to a fan, and he stopped talking to him and then looked right at me, and grumpy old man yelled at me. He was like, "Can you not do that, please?" And then I just, like, slowly backed away, and it's disappeared.
You should have told him that's why you weren't in Creed, bro.
I don't know, but...
Boom. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Probably the best experience so far is...
You took it too far.
I have a friend that's doing the... She's a cop. She's doing the detail for Sigourney Weaver. And
did you get to meet her?
I got to meet her. Didn't get to take a picture or anything. But as I was being introduced to her, Kate Beckinsale was walking behind us. And I guess I was in her way, so she tapped my shoulder.
Kate Beckinsale did? So. Never watched that shoulder.
She right sell that shoulder on eBay.
Can I come touch it now?
Right shoulder. This is the same shoulder Rosario Dawson touched last year.
Did the shoulder felt pretty when you touched when she touched it?
It's not as tense as it was, but it's good.
Did the security detail for Sigourney step in and say, "Get away from her, you bitch"?
No.
Yeah. Good catch. Good catch.
Would have been fun, but nah.
So. Bill Paxton was really fun yesterday at his panel, at the Aliens panel. Did anybody get to go to the Aliens panel yesterday?
Yeah, the Aliens panel was awesome. Paul Reiser was on fire,
I made Justin stay at the booth so I can go. I feel mean, but...
It'll be on YouTube, I'm sure, sometime.
Yeah, it's all right. It was a good panel. If y'all are Aliens fan, they confirmed some stuff for Aliens 5.
That's right, they did. It's going to happen after the next Prometheus movie.
Yeah, which was a good call because you don't want more than one and Aliens
Blomkamp
movie at once.
How do you say it?
Neil Blomkamp.
Blomkamp. He's writing and directing it, so he's a big fan.
Cool.
Yeah. Like as you said, don't. No. Negativity.
I could say what I want, man.
Fine.
That's what makes me a podcaster. Neil Blomkamp's last three movies sucked ass.
What were his last three movies?
But District 9 was good.
What were his last three movies?
It was that Chappie, basically wannabe Short Circuit,
right.
Is what it wanted to be, with action. And what was that other movie?
Short Circuit was with action.
Elysium, which was like
was
his political reference movie. He's like, everyone fucking sucks.
But half of that movie is great. When
it looked pretty.
His face gets blown off in slow
motion. It looks pretty. But
that part is great.
You know,
that one part
movie made no fucking sense.
No, not at all.
That describes most movies now. They look pretty, but there's no content.
Like Batman versus Superman.
What were you going to say about...
Deep cuts.
What were you going to say about Bill Paxton? You said you were going to say Bill Paxton something or other?
Oh, yeah. Bill Paxton was doing some lines, some throwaway lines from the movie. Everyone's clapping. Mm-hmm. You know how geeky people
get. Game over, man!
Yeah. Well, he didn't do that one. He did another one. No, he didn't do that one. He did the one that was like, 17 days? We're going to make 17 hours. You know?
He's like, I don't even remember. You guys know it, right?
Yeah, he was like, he forgot his lines, so he just told the crowd, you know the line, I'll shut up now.
So let's talk about movies real quick.
Let's
talk about your movie specifically.
Okay.
So now it's out on DVD and VOD and all that. We had you on the show, I think, before these guys were even on.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So when your Kickstarter had just started up. So talk about that process of how
First, give everyone the rundown about your movie, yeah. And then
sure.
Tell us that process.
So yes. The Dark Side of Disney is a new documentary that is available for sale here at the con. It's $20, and you get access to the movie, of course, on DVD, and a huge library of special features, including extended interviews, unused B-roll, and a 25-song downloadable soundtrack.
You got that B-roll?
Yeah, we got a lot of B-roll. And it is inspired by the best-selling travel guide, which is a book that tells you how and where to do more, we'll say, adult activities at the Disney parks. The book tells you where to do drugs, where not to do drugs, because you're going to lose your mind.
Where's the best place to do meth in Disney?
He doesn't really touch on meth at all, but if you're going to get stoned, don't go on Space Mountain, he says.
Is it because it's too trippy? Or?
To him, he says it's a little too trippy. I had a little bit. It was like a vape pen with some herb in it, and went on Space Mountain. I had a fine time, but I did make the mistake of going on Mission Space, and that was
Mission Space straight.
That's about the same
side. Well, fuck you.
Yeah, and I don't know what I was thinking. I hadn't been on it in years.
Did it feel like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory in that tunnel scene? Did it feel like that?
It felt a little bit like that, except for the extreme G-forces and Gary Sinise yelling at me constantly. It was a really bad thing.
Which one is worse, extreme G-forces or Gary Sinise yelling at you?
The combination of the two is, I can never forget it. but the film itself is why the book tells you how and where to do these adult activities. The film kind of more asks the question why a sensible adult would want to like go and do these kind of crazy things. So it actually opens with me and my mom talking about scattering my grandmother's ashes in the park in 2004, yeah. Something that was my grandmother's dying wish. And so we scattered them in the moat around Cinderella Castle. Aww. And then that kind of opens the door for me to go out and try to find like-minded individuals, people that have kind of gone over to the dark side with their obsessions with the Disney parks.
I have a spreading of ashes dark story.
Oh yeah,
you want to hear it real quick?
Please.
Sure.
Speaking of that, my
is it
mom,
in Disney World?
No, it was not. It was one of my mother's dying wishes was to have her ashes spread off of a cruise ship. If you've ever tried to spread ashes off of a cruise ship going that fast,
is it reminiscent
don't
of Big
do it
Lebowski?
Don't do it from the front of the boat. That's all I'm saying.
Yes,
it's very reminiscent of Big Lebowski.
Very, very much. That was real life for me.
Wow, that is intense.
If anyone's never seen Big Lebowski, there's a great scene at the end of the movie. If you'll get that joke.
No, I thought you were going to ruin it.
I get called out at work a lot for ruining stuff because I assume everyone's seen what I've seen.
If they haven't seen it by now, then fuck them, man.
Yeah, that's right. So they call me like the spoiler guy at work, and it fucking sucks.
Is that the new nickname for the show?
The spoiler guy?
George
that should
spoiler
be my
dresses?
That should be my new segment. Is what George, George spoils the fuck out of everything.
Well, George hates metal, so.
That's true.
We didn't have time to get you anything to listen to this week because we're so busy at the show.
But I can bitch about Fear Factory if you want.
No, we're not going to.
Okay.
I'm going to be happy with Fear Factory.
So. I know you will be.
Let's. I saw two more podcasters walk in the room.
Oh.
We have Chris from Sully from Nerd Foo and Craig Price. Guys, come up here.
Come say hello.
Come on up.
He's trying to eat some Oreos.
We're just trying to get people involved and get happy.
What do you opening Oreos, so we're bringing him up here.
Are you sharing those Oreos with us?
No,
yeah, right here.
There's a mic right here. Come on up front.
Hey, everybody. Sully with Nerd Food.
Grab a seat.
That's okay.
Thank you.
We're only inviting you for a minute, but you can sit down if you want.
Yeah, he can sit down, chill.
Are those Skittles? What is that? Oh.
They're nuts.
Chocolate. Yeah.
Chocolate and nuts.
Some
chocolate nuts.
I'll speak through my lawyer.
So I just wanted to get your guys' opinion of how your weekend of the show has been so far.
I think the show's been going great. I've been here since Friday morning. I'm exhausted. But everything's been going fantastic. This is probably one of the, and I hate to jinx it on the last day, but I think this is one of the smoothest cons that we've been to in a couple of years. Not just for...
Well, considering what happened like 3 weeks ago.
No, I've been going to more than just that one. So,
this is my third con
in 4 weeks. And this is the smoothest one, but it's also the smoothest one we've probably been to in a long time.
So I got a question for you. You had the last minute either opportunity or curse, let's talk about that, to moderate Tara Reid's panel.
How was that, by the way? Was Tara Reid fun?
Well, I'll also say that I wish the same thing had happened today at Dominic Cooper's because... That was a rough moderation.
Moderate Dominic Cooper's thing?
Oh no, I would. But I would have if I had known what had happened.
I would have asked them a whole bunch of like preacher questions.
Oh, yeah. It was. He's a really charming and
well, he's
guy.
British. Every British person's charming.
But the moderator made sure that nobody would ever find that out.
screen.
Yeah.
Who was the moderator?
Oh, my Lord. I don't know who she was. Did she
not know anything about him? Is that what it was?
Yeah, apparently there was some traffic issues on Friday, and the moderator for Tara Reid couldn't make it. And so at 4:55, I just happened to be in the area, and they grabbed me and said, "Hey, you've done this kind of stuff before.
Do this now.
Would you help us out?" And I'm like, "Of course," because that's all I've been saying for the last week is, if you need any help, I'm here for you guys. Yeah. I love doing this stuff, even if I don't love the person I'm speaking to. It's really fun to interview people.
I loved her in Big Lebowski, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but she's kind of – you can't talk about that for – 45 minutes. Watch so I get me. There.
You
I
have
had
to go,
no.
You have to go to Sharknado at one point.
Hey, so are you upset that Amy Mann is the one that we all remember because her toe was taken off and yours was not? Blah blah. So I can't ask that. But who is?
You should have seen it. It's been like 20 years.
I agree with you. If you haven't seen Big Lebowski now, go fuck yourself. Because that is a classic. It's something.
I've never agreed with Craig more than.
Yeah, there are certain movies that if you have not seen by now, you're not going to see them, and don't cry because we spoiled.
I'm just hacking visual.
Right on.
She was pleasant afterwards.
I'm sure you did amazing because you're an amazing
moderator. Oh, I am amazing. Oh, I was fantastic. Yeah. And I made sure I told everybody who saw me how fantastic I was.
Let's take some time. We're going to open this up to people in the audience if they want to come up and ask questions, because we have lots of prizes to give away. We want to get rid of this stuff. We don't want to carry it around.
If you guys who are leaving, we are about to give some stuff away. If you want to stick around for five more minutes.
We got free stuff, though. So
get over here.
Where are you going?
Sub-Zero.
Right, hey, Sub-Zero, right? I'm not getting that wrong, right? You're supposed to be Sub-Zero?
Oh.
I didn't say that. I called him Sub-Zero.
I was playing the role of Scorpion saying, get over here to Sub-Zero. I
mean, he's wearing orange, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you're more Scorpion.
That's what I was, I said it to him.
Oh, look, we got lunch. There's a catered lunch. It's a catered podcast.
So anyone has any questions?
Come on up.
Please.
All right.
Father's
now.
Day, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Number one dad.
No
crack
candy? I already gave it all the way.
Number one Texas dad, sorry.
All right, first of all, thank you guys. I mean, thank you. I started listening to metal and Justin introduced me to it, so it's pretty cool. I love it. For the people who don't know you very well.
Okay, so wait a minute. You love it, but what's your favorite band?
I'm actually listening to Fear Factory.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Their new album is great.
Yeah, I also like Marilyn Manson now, too, so it's like crazy. My kids don't like to listen to it. They like turn it off.
What's your favorite?
Manson, if your kids don't like Marilyn Manson, that's weird.
What is your favorite metal band?
Well,
and I know you hate metal. So.
I don't hate... Oh, Jesus.
Actually, I've listened to Disturbed. I've never even heard them before till today. But
oh, please don't tell me you like Disturbed.
I actually kind of do.
I want to kick you out.
I listen to everything.
I'm just kidding.
Sit down, Miguel.
Well, I know. I listen to everything.
You're out of your depth, sir.
Pull your metal card.
I don't have a metal card.
He's
let's start down
one.
The line. Who wants to... Okay.
I don't think you want to pull anything he has.
How do you...
So...
We want to go first?
Carrie, what's your favorite metal band?
How do you quantify how many bands you can fit into one word? You can't. So,
I'm going to take a guess who's your favorite metal band.
Who's my favorite metal band? Let's play this game.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm about to guess. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Monkees.
Yeah.
Who would you die for? I mean, like, literally cut your arm off, but I got to see them.
The Monkees.
The Monkees. I'm telling you, it's what it is.
No, I'm going in 2 weeks, so I'm good. I don't have to lose any limbs or anything. Probably all-time favorite Anthrax.
Yeah, I saw them with you. That was my first time. It turned me into a fan. I wasn't a fan before, but I'm definitely a fan now.
Devin Townsend right now.
His new album's coming out, right?
Yeah, he has a new album coming out this year. What about you? What's your favorite? Can I guess?
Sure, go ahead.
The Sword?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite bands, yeah. They're a local Texas, like, what do you call them? Hipster band?
No. You call them hipster bands.
I don't.
Sean calls them a hipster
Sean
band.
Does.
That's true.
You call them like doom metal or something like that.
Like
I don't,
stoner doom.
Stoner metal is what
stoner
you call
metal.
Them. I don't think they're stoner at all. They don't talk about like drugs or anything.
Stoner bands don't.
It's a style.
I take that back. They kind of do talk about drugs and dragons.
It's a
and
guitar
stuff.
Tone. It's just the way they play.
I also really like Trivium. Yeah. And In Flames is really good. I've always been a fan of In Flames.
Okay, let me correct you there. In Flames was really good. About 10 years ago.
At least when I was in high school, they were really awesome.
Okay, so 10 years ago.
Dang, why do you gotta age me, bro? Right. Well, I think that's about it for me right now.
Metal band. I mean, I'm a huge fan of ABBA and Steely Dan.
Those are most metally.
Those
bands.
Those are pretty metal.
I mean, just seriously, just listen to ABBA. Listen to what they're talking about, and you see.
Talks about all about dancing with death.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Literally dancing with death.
A lot of Swedish metal bands actually influenced by ABBA. So.
Yeah, ABBA's spectacular, man. The most metally of metal.
It's perfect. Metal-y the most metal of metal. Yeah, yeah. Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia is okay. If we want to talk about that movie, Meryl Streep. Come on.
Or Pierce Brosnan singing. Good God.
Stellan Skarsgård singing.
Wouldn't it be Metal Streep?
So Metal Streep in Mamma Mia. So there you go. That's my 100% accurate answer.
Awesome metal cred, man.
Yeah.
I've been... Carrie, how long have you been listening to metal?
How old am I? About 41 years.
I've been...
In my womb. My mother's womb.
I've listened to and loved so many metal bands over the last several decades of being a metalhead.
It's such a hard question to answer.
It really is. But my long time kind of go to, and they've had their ups and downs, and they've had their good moments and their absolute.
Can I
shit,
guess?
It is Megadeth. Megadeth is probably my all time favorite.
I was gonna say Monomarth, but
Monomarth is one that I've seen probably almost as many times as I've seen Megadeth.
Megadeth is on a high now. So.
Yes, they are. New album is excellent. If you have not listened to the
new
Megadeth
drug
album,
reference.
It is really good. Sean the Metal Pigeon and I think, are on the same page.
We think
it's a top five Megadeth album. It's that good.
It's so good.
Surprisingly so.
I don't know. Don't listen to me.
So since you asked a question.
Since you asked a question, pick a gift.
Should we run down what we have for our...
He changed the rules. I'm sorry.
What?
I have some metal CDs. Whoa. That you probably were.
Those are like from your collection.
It's homework for you, is what it is.
Are these like opened from your collection?
I don't know.
No, these are donated.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to give you this compilation album. No.
I think you really wanted the apron.
So what all do we have to give away, Carrie?
That's dope.
We have a bunch of different stuff from Corpse Crystal Records. We have...
bands I've never heard of ever in my life.
Is this Family Guy DVD box sets?
We're going old school on
Yeah, I think 2004 is calling.
Carrie's been cleaning out the garage. And
he's cleaning out his closet is what he's
pulled
doing.
Out a bundle of shrink wrap.
Do you like Killswitch Engage? Here's the whole package of Killswitch Engage CDs for you.
I appreciate it.
I actually like Killswitch Engage. They're really good.
So we've also...
I like it.
I love that you said come up and pick, and then you forced him to take that.
I know, right?
It's basically homework is what
he's
you gave
homework
him.
Homework now.
Yeah, I got it.
Who else has the question?
We've also got...
Next question, please.
We've also got art prints, and George has...
Yeah, I have a big VIP packet of my comics.
We're going to give people...
We're going to guess what they want and just give it to them?
We're going
to
guess what they want.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
What's your name, sir?
My name's Jesus.
Hey.
So, what is your favorite metal guitarist?
Don't start with me.
No, I'm looking at you first.
Jesus Christ.
The one that plays that riff?
That one riff.
That one riff?
No, there's so many good guitarists. God, I can't remember his name. I'm having a brain fart.
What band is he in?
Anthrax. What's his name?
You talking about Scott Ian?
Scott Ian, yes.
But he's only a rhythm guitar player, so.
But he's a really good guitar player.
He's still a guitar.
He up-picks. So,
then I also like, you know, believe it or not, the guy who made Metalocalypse.
Brendan Small.
Oh, he's an amazing guitarist.
Small's actually is. Great.
And his album Galacticon, amazing. So go pick it up or listen to it on
There's
Spotify.
There's a sequel coming out to that.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to bring him here. I think everyone in Houston wants to meet Brendan Small.
It was up to me. He'd be here.
So next question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait. He
wasn't asking me. I'm sorry. I'm being so vain.
It's not all about you, you know.
Sorry. Next.
Just some of it.
Your favorite guitarist.
Prince was an amazing guitarist.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, bro.
In no way metal.
No, he's an amazing
Prince
guitarist.
He's an amazing guitarist, for sure. Wonderful guy.
Prince has some tasty licks.
He does, indeed. In many different ways, not just the guitar.
Exactly.
So, if you can't tell, I'm not the biggest metal guy ever, but, I appreciate it. Definitely.
So, I am a guitar player. So
this is a hard question.
This is an exceedingly difficult question.
Are you talking about yourself now? You're your own favorite guitar player?
No. God. Not Yngwie. But thank you.
I don't think even Yngwie liked Yngwie.
No.
I don't know who Yngwie is. Let's go with that.
They're good.
God, there's so many.
First one that comes to your mind.
None of them would be here if it wasn't for Tony Iommi, though.
There you go.
So I don't know if he's my all-time favorite, but I do believe that metal wouldn't exist if Tony Iommi hadn't cut his fingers off. And then
he cut his fingers off
to compensate. What?
He cut his fingers off?
And he had he worked in a mill or something, and he had an accident and cut the tips of his fingers.
Oh,
off.
So it wasn't like I and fucked not, my hand no, not and cut my hand.
It was not, not intentional. But as a result of that injury, he had to tune down his guitar, and he actually created his own prosthetics that he put on his fingers to play,
nice.
Which gave Black Sabbath their signature sound, which...
Plastic?
It was basically, he melted plastic.
Some hot dogs.
That turns you into Mini Wolverine, is what it does.
It all leads to the sound that it ultimately created, which... For my money, is the beginning of heavy metal.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that. And I am a Black Sabbath fan. I've never heard. That's fascinating. It's very fascinating. Yeah. I learned something today.
There you go.
All right, you gotta
I'm full
get a prize,
of all too. Kinds of useless trivia.
Very cool.
I never said mine, I guess. Can I say Devin Townsend?
Yeah, I was about to say, didn't you already say that?
Yeah, he's an amazing guitar player, and he can sing, too.
Yeah.
So. What do you want to get, man? We have some cool... We have some awesome prints from our friend James Linares downstairs.
Who also did one of my prints, by the way.
That's right. A first order prize pack from my table downstairs.
From Geekazoid, thank you.
Uh-huh. This guy had a question, if you want to come on up. I'm sorry, I'm taking over your show.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention.
It's like dead air going on right now.
Womp, womp, womp. How you doing, sir?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm doing
Long
good.
Time no see. This is awesome.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Pick up the mic. So, say your name.
My name is Damone. I'm friends of Justin and makers of his comic books. Great, by the way. I just done through. It's great.
Thank
you. So,
you
talk about metal.
We talk
I'm a
about
product
everything.
Of the 80s, pretty much. And I'm a stagehand, so I do like the... I work for Upstage, so I do like the concerts and all that, backdrops, everything. I got to see White Snake on the 5th. It's really good. Awesome. They sound the same.
Did they whip out the White Snake?
I wasn't looking about it. I mean, I had my snake. I was looking at their snake.
It was a bad joke. No, don't
it's all good. I'm going to roll with it. You know, I'm going to roll with it. But no, so I grew up in the 80s. My first song I ever listened to, a heavy metal song, was a 666 Number of Beast by Iron Maiden. And it got me into it. And I heard that song, and I was into all the little hip-hop stuff, and then it's like, man, this is so good. And I listened to the whole thing, Invaders and all that, and then I started going from there, and Dawkins. I cried when Dawkins broke up. It's like, man.
Dawkins rocking, man.
Yeah, it came back. Yeah, I heard some of their stuff. It's like, oh, it's awesome. So is there a difference between the metal of the 80s and the stuff that's coming out now? Because it's like, my wife, she told me to listen to something. It was Imagine Dragons, and no offense to anybody that's an Imagine Dragon fan, but she was like, oh, I know you're going to like this, and... Like,
is that metal? Is that what's being considered metal today?
I was like, really, I don't even know if this is rock. What is, well, dear, what is this? Like, you know, I like Dragon Force, and I like Dragon Force. I like the way they play it, but it's like, but it's not metal. I guess maybe the time was different, or maybe I was younger and I was just having so much fun because I was the only black guy. Hey, look. But I mean, like, but everybody loved
metal,
it.
Hair
I
was metal like, is what unique. We call it?
It's like,
hair
you
metal.
Know the lyrics to that song? I'm like, yeah, I was alone. And I was like, yeah, I'm jamming, dude. It's like, I don't care. Because music has no color. Music is just what you want to say to other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's what I want to say, I want to express outwardly to other people. It has no color. It's like, yeah, you know. But so, yeah, so it's just different, right? It's not just me. Like, what people conceive of or think of metal is different than it was back in my day.
So apparently there's like a million subgenres of metal. So
there's 100 million subgenres
yeah,
of metal.
Yeah, so metal is, to me, such a fascinating subgenre of music because of how much it has evolved in its lifetime. Again, like I said a minute ago, for my money, heavy metal started with the first Black Sabbath album. So 1970 till now, heavy metal now sounds like so many different things. Some of it still sounds like Black Sabbath. Some of it still sounds like Dawkins. Some of it sounds like Decrepit Birth and everything in between. And but somehow...
A lot of these bands sound like Decrepit Birth.
Yes, a lot of those bands sound like Decrepit Birth. But somehow, in all of that, there's the kind of brotherhood aspect where everybody looks at each other and goes, yeah, but we're all still metal. And I can't think of another genre of music except maybe punk that has that kind of longevity. And there's a lot of infighting, but there's still a sense of brotherhood and inclusivity in it, which is awesome. So yes, to answer your question, heavy metal has changed, but it's still the same.
Genres and subgenres have subgenres underneath that.
Yes.
It's hard to quantify and figure out what a band sometimes really fits into. So sometimes it's not even worth it, you know? That's why, like, on the metal show that we do, we just play whatever we want to play. There's no rhyme or reason to what we play. It's this band can fit next to this band because it's just all music. It's all metal, you know?
And this is why y'all pick crappy music for me to listen to. Right.
We're still gonna let you pick a whole episode of MSRcast one day.
That'd be fun.
We'll pick that apart.
Every one of your listeners will stop listening. It's gonna be great.
Why are we listening to the sword 8 times? What's going on here? So, what kind of prize do you want?
Anyone else has a question? Next question.
Next person in line?
Yeah, he's coming up.
What's happening, Charlie? How you doing, bud?
Got some Tool CDs right there.
Yeah, Tool's great. Well, I'm waiting for the new album. That's supposedly going to be the last one, right?
Good luck.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Gentlemen, how you doing? My name is Charlie, and I actually am in a local band.
Oh, cool.
I want to kind of touch on that. We had to talk about that earlier.
What band are you in?
A couple of bands, Witness of the Fallen, and I'm also in Smoking Aces.
Cool. Okay.
They're local bands. The question that I had was, and we brought that up, when we're piggybacking on brotherhood and actually kind of joining and bonding together as a band, you know, it kind of trickled over into the con and how all these different cons are going on and they're kind of bickering with each other. We have that in our local scene.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And I wanted to get your input or your thought on that. How can we kind of avoid that, or how can we kind of maybe kind of come together a little bit better? Because it just seems that when one band locally kind of takes off and skyrockets, there's 10 or 15 other bands that are just complete hate about it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of open that up and kind of talk about
it. I've been in the metal scene here in Houston for a long time. I'm also in other different, like, so...
Charlie,
we'll
grab you something, man.
Yeah, grab something, dude. Something, you know, with all the local podcasts that we're involved with. We were talking about this yesterday. I think podcasting has the least amount of animosity towards each other, least amount of clicks. So, like, in the metal scene, there was a lot of it, unfortunately. So it's like, if you like that band, you're not true enough, or if you don't like this band, you're not real. It's just enjoy what you enjoy and like what you like. That's all there is to it. Life is short. If you don't like that band, don't like that band. If you love that band, go see them, you know? That's what it is to me.
Or force your co-host to listen to stuff.
Or force you to listen to stuff, that's right. And get a kick out of it.
I think everything... just being nice to everyone just kind of goes across the board, not just in metal, but in, like, filmmaking. And then,
because
filmmaking is a small thing here in town. And also podcasting as well. It's, like, a very small pool. And whenever you get into something, there's no reason to make big waves and cause bullshit for everyone else. It's just we're all here trying to achieve a similar goal. There's no reason why we can't help each other out. And that's my two takes on it. Now, when there is someone who is causing bullshit, I think he should leave. That's my opinion. For the con that shall be not be named, there's a reason why he got fired, and there's a reason why that's no longer a deal. So
there is so much, like, some Game of Thrones drama going on that I have no idea what y'all are talking about. It's great.
We'll tell you later.
Yeah, I love it.
Who's next? Who has questions? Who wants to win something?
Next question. Anybody. Anything.
Free stuff.
I'll answer almost anything, even if it's personal. I could tell you what I ate for breakfast.
No.
Top 40, man. It's top 40.
Excuse my language, but there's really no metal groups in Houston anymore. And I was asking a friend of mine, it's like a rap town, a rap, R&B. Like,
Houston's been a rap town for a while. But, I mean, there's some great metal bands here, so, I mean... Yeah.
Come on
up here.
Come on up here and speak it to the crowd. And then you get to pick a prize for talking. Look at that.
Opinions and prizes. That's what we offer here.
Isn't that what podcast is all about?
Yeah, I think so. So what's your name?
My name's Catherine.
Hello. So welcome to the show.
There's Bill Paxton.
Yeah, I got Bill and I got Dominic on the other side. So,
nice. Was Dominic dreamy as I expect him to be?
It was quite dreamy, and that accent pretty much just knocks you on over. When you hear him as Howard, you're just like, I'm always very impressed whenever British people can do American accents, but not so much
when
American.
But it's always very insulting when it's the other way around, isn't it?
American people cannot do a British accent. Apparently they teach them quite better in London than they do in New York. But to answer your question, basically, I do think that you had kind of the, I don't want to say golden age of heavy metal there in the 80s, where you had so many bands come up. You had your Metallicas, you had your Megadeths, you had everything. And you kind of had the shift, because at the same time, you also still had, you know, very much the boy bands. You had all this stuff. So there's always been the kind of that pushback, but I think a lot, particularly with the rise of social media, where it's so much easier now to get out, you know, a Taylor Swift than it is to necessarily get something that's maybe a little more niche that metal is, because metal always really has been more kind of for the outcast, where, you know, so you're not necessarily going to necessarily have as much exposure for a musical genre, where it really kind of is for, you know, the people who aren't going to go see New Kids on the Block, you know. But then you really did there in the 80s have kind of your golden age, and it did sort of not necessarily go away, but I think it did more go towards kind of that punk aesthetic, where you had, you know, just kind of the scene changed and the music changed, so it's never really gone away, but I definitely think that you have a lot more exposure for different genres than you necessarily do for metal, and metal always has been such a small insular community that when you're a concert goer or you're a club promoter, you're going to look at the dollars, and it really boils down to that. Am I going to go to the one that's going to fill my club with 500 people, or am I going to do the one that's going to fill my club with 150 people? And that, I mean, and that's always been, it's always been that pushback.
Come on up. Don't be shy. And you get to pick a prize.
You get to pick a prize too. What do you want? We have metal stuff. We have geeky stuff. Hi. We have a little bit of everything.
Hi. What's your name?
Amy.
Nice to meet you, Amy.
Honestly, if you want to see any kind of metal, my recommendation would be to go to a motorcycle rally. I got to see Whitesnake. Yeah, they were on Oxygen, but they were absolutely fabulous, and it was a great time. And I mean, you just, any of the motorcycle rallies, Houston for some reason doesn't really have them, but everywhere around Houston has them, and they get some of the big name.
Especially in Galveston, right? That happens
a lot. Galveston's huge, yeah. Huge. No, no. Park your car a mile away, walk in. No, we ride in on our Harley, so it's not a big deal, but, you know, they welcome everyone. So, yeah, you could blend right in. You'd be good.
So, not as a joke to people who ride motorcycles or anything, but do y'all look at Charlie Hoonan as y'all's Jesus?
No.
But people that I will be honest with you.
I think probably the first season we were like, oh, Sons is on. And then after all, it became like a soap opera. Mm-hmm. We were like, no.
My personal opinion of Sons of Anarchy, it was great up till season 4. When not to spoil it, anybody, if you haven't seen it.
What do you say? Wait.
Spoil it. I will be honest. I stopped watching after a certain point.
When anybody
my husband
says
continued to
not
watch.
Not to spoil it, that means you're about to spoil the fuck out of it.
Yeah, don't.
I'll shut up. Go see it. Just stop watching after season 4. You'll thank me later.
And go watch Pacific Rim, because he's great in it.
He's great in it.
The movie's so underrated.
I thought he was actually really good in that Guillermo del Toro's Crimson Peak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
Yeah.
So next question.
I'd like to provide kind of a counterpoint to the
Jesus
social
thing?
Media aspect of and heavy metal, and it kind of touches on what Charlie's talking about too a little bit. I'm not a Houston native, so I'm still kind of getting to know the Houston metal scene.
You're from D-Town.
I am from D-Town.
Dallas.
So I can't really speak too much for the scene here specifically, but metal as a whole, I think the idea that heavy metal was in its golden age in the 80s, I disagree. The number of quality heavy metal releases that have come out this year alone is mind-blowing. They're all over the world.
They're sweet.
Some of them are. Some of them are American bands.
It just boggles the mind.
All over the world.
And from the documentary film perspective, that's like the whole point of Decline of Western Civilization Part 2.
Yeah.
Is that the metal years, like, they became so, in the 80s, they became so mainstream and popular that then they had to have this like kind of period of decompression because they kind of blew up in such a weird commercial way.
Right. Yeah. And so it had that mainstreaming that happened, but metal has never gone away. And it's in this like renaissance right now. where there's so much quality stuff coming out that I can't keep up, and I try. But it's that the world has changed how we consume. And because of things like social media and internet and everything like that, it's so much easier for the bands to market directly to the people that they appeal to. They don't have to go to the gatekeeper anymore. There are no more gatekeepers. And that is the best thing for creatives. Whether you're playing metal, whether you're a filmmaker, whatever you're doing, you can go, you can do it yourself and sell it directly to the people that are your audience.
Your comic book creator? Mm-hmm. Everything now.
No, just kidding.
I think we're running out of time here because we're about an hour, but we still have a lot of stuff
we got,
to
do. Anybody has any comic book questions? Geeky questions?
Yeah, come on.
Because we got a lot of comic book stuff up here. And if you like comic books, though, we got some Bedrock City gift cards to give away and this awesome VIP pack of a new up-and-coming comic book called Speak No Evil. Just saying.
Just saying. Hashtag that.
Hashtag that.
Yes, sir.
Your name, please.
My name's Austin. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Well, since it's Father's Day, I thought we'll ask a father-related question. Like, in sci-fi, comic books, or whatever, who do you think is a really good, like, father figure in the comic book world?
Whoa. Can I say Darth Vader?
Ooh.
You can take whoever you want.
You've got to tell who it is and then explain it.
It's Vader.
Vader. All right, Vader's your answer.
He's the most metal of all the fathers.
The most metal, yeah.
He's the most metal. He wears the most metal, too.
Yeah. RoboCop, Alex Murphy, a.k.a. RoboCop, he's pretty metal.
You can take all of it.
Cool. RoboCop is
bring it back to the booth. I'll sign everything. For me, man, it's a hard tie between Uncle Ben and Papa Kent.
Ooh, I got a good one though.
So I'm probably gonna go with Uncle Ben because he's the most better father figure. But yeah, that's my answer.
You took a bullet for him. No, sorry, spoiler.
So Spider-Man's uncle, even though it's not his direct dad, he's a perfect father figure, and it's the reason why Spider-Man.
There you go.
DC's run of Starman through like the 90s and 2000s. Do you guys remember that run? But yeah. Robinson, is that his name? I remember reading that in trades, like from the library in the early 2000s. And there is, the whole plot is how like the son of the original Starman is like taking over the mantle and everything. And it has a constant thread throughout of like the son taking over the mantle of the father. And at the end of that Robinson arc, it involves the original Starman like sacrificing himself for the whole city to live. And I genuinely remember as like a 22-year-old dude like sitting at home like in my apartment like reading it and like. Just starting to cry like a little bit. He's like, I have to say goodbye now, and you're like, no, Starman.
Yeah. No, Starman.
It's a great comic.
It's good. It's good. That's a deep, like, unprecedented
deep cut.
Answer.
Beard cut,
that's a B-side.
What about you, Dave? Father figure of the year for science fiction or comic books?
The comedian. That's
the comedian from The Watchmen? Is that what we're talking about? From The Watchmen?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Weird. He almost had sex with his daughter. Just
that explains
you know.
A lot now.
Is that your answer and you're sticking with it?
I don't have a for real answer, so yeah, that's the answer.
Okay, there we go.
Let's do this. We don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to get some of the stuff away. We're going to ask you guys trivia questions real quick, so let's do a Disney question first.
Fire around.
Yeah,
so pick out a really good Disney parks question.
Give me do right now. You want it?
How well do y'all know y'all's Disney stuff, everybody?
Who's a big Disney fan out there?
Show of hands.
So this is pretty metal. This is a pretty metal question. Right. The ride that no longer exists at Disney World but is still at Disneyland is one of my favorites growing up was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yes.
But there's a plaque currently at Disneyland as you enter the ride that says, go on a journey with Mr. Toad as he takes a ride to the streets of London 2. Does anyone know how that plaque finishes? Where does Mr. Toad go to?
It's a deep one.
At the end of the ride.
I know where you go in the ride.
I have no fucking idea.
It's really funny how they phrase it, too. If you know where they go, it's funny how they phrase it. It's a deep cut.
Anybody have an idea? Shoot their hand up in the air.
I have no idea at all. Has anyone ever ridden Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Yes.
Does anyone know where does he end up at the end? He ends up in hell. So you should win because you said that. But the plaque
for real?
In,
he does.
Yeah, he goes straight to hell.
It's
that
the
is
only
a demented Disney ride.
Yeah,
he's like devils with pitchforks. But yep. The sign out front, there's a little plaque out front that says, come on a ride with Mr. Toad. Where as he goes to, quote unquote, no place in particular, which is it's always fascinating to me that they're like, no, he's going straight to hell, but we're not going to tell you. So yeah, come on up and take a
pick a prize, or we'll actually give him a prize or something
like
that.
We'll give her the
Dark Side of Disney. Cool.
Okay, yeah, you should take a Dark Side of Disney. Oh,
thank you. And he comes to the Microsearch booth, he'll sign it for you.
Yes, we'll sign it for you now.
Oh, while I'm here, I want to say congratulations. You just recently passed 100 episodes.
Yes, we did.
Yay. Thank you.
This will be 106, right?
All right. So you want to ask a next question?
Let's do a horror question because we have this really cool Freddy Krueger apron. This is from Bedrock City. Thanks
you
to
can
our friend
slay your barbecue.
Get it?
In their dreams.
Oh, yeah. In my dreams. Hey, going back to Dawkin.
Yeah?
Bringing it back.
Do you guys have... I have a horror...
Let's do that.
A horror trivia question.
Let's do it.
Anyway, name three movies that Robert Englund has been in that are not in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise.
Oh. Wow.
Three movies with Robert Englund.
I was going to make it much easier
Man,
than that.
Man, you're trying to blow people's minds.
Yeah. But this guy's thinking. This guy's thinking.
Come up here. If you know... Come here, Herbert.
You know one for sure.
You're one third of the way, then. It's Behind the Mask.
Yeah, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
I've seen that movie. That was a good movie, actually.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
It was a lovely movie. It's wonderful.
Do you got one? Anything else? Robert Englund, come on. He was in that stripper movie, man.
Yeah, he was.
Was he in the zombie stripper movie?
Yeah, that's it.
There's two. You're getting help from the audience.
Yeah.
Doesn't that count? That counts.
Yeah.
I don't have a third one.
He was in V. He was in The Mangler. Come on, guys. The Mangler.
I only got the one.
Does he still get it? I believe he gets it.
I think he came up with the courage of coming up.
Thank you so much, sir.
Now, who's the biggest heavy metal fan in here? Because I have something that's actually really super rare. This is the picture disc of Slayer's Rain and Blood demos. There's only 500 of these made ever. So
I want this one.
Slip out.
Mark, come up here. I got a question for you.
Oh,
just putting him on the spot.
That's just a favor for a friend.
Yeah.
What year was the very first time we saw Slayer together?
No one's going to know that answer.
He's not even going to know the answer.
He's like, what?
Yeah, no, I won't ask.
So who has a Slayer? Dave, pick up on a Slayer. I don't want to keep making
an open floor Slayer question.
Yeah.
What's their famous song?
Come on.
One famous song?
Yeah, what's that one famous song everyone
knows?
Wait
a minute, I got a question for you. There was a movie in the 80s that featured music from Slayer.
Oh.
It was a horror comedy movie.
Oh, no, I was going to say it. Never mind, that was going first.
Return of the Living Dead.
No.
Demons. No.
Was it Dawn of the Dead?
No.
Or Night of the Living Dead?
Little creature guys.
Ghoulies.
No.
Critters.
Munchers.
You're way off. You're getting close, though. Gremlins 2.
Oh, really?
He said Gremlins 1, though.
Yeah. Okay, 2.
He could still... I don't know. It's a toss-up. It's up to you. I don't really care.
He's already won. We gotta make it fair.
Make it fair for everyone.
So, Beastie Boys, right? I know we used to listen to Beastie Boys a lot together. The very first album featured what guitar player from Slayer? But here's a further question. Why was it... The video for Fight for Your Right to Party did not have Kerry King in it. Who was in it? Who played the guitar in the video?
Is this what we're giving away?
That's what we're giving away.
He had part of the answer.
He was in the band, and he's... I can't say any more than that.
He knows who it is.
It's that one guy.
It is Jeff Hinneman.
Hey, he had it right. Congratulations. Anybody a Ninja Turtle fan? Because we have this awesome Ninja Turtle print, and I have an awesome question for Ninja Turtles.
Who is a big Ninja Turtle fan?
Anybody? Okay. I have this one question. So, in the original 1990 Ninja Turtles movie, that was Ninja Turtles 2, bro. Okay. What was the movie Raphael dressed up as a human to go see? Damn, he just shot it out.
What is it?
It's Critters. Yeah, congratulations. Right. You got it. You were very quick to that answer.
Now, here's something cool. We have three...
Yeah, it's yours.
Thanks again to our friends at Bedrock City.
Who did this print, you know?
That's James Linares.
James Linares did this print, who also did my variant cover, so take
He's
it down and get it
right
signed.
Now. He will sign that for you.
Oh, this is awesome, though. Yeah. I live in Ninja Turtles and Critters, so this works.
So we have three gift cards to Bedrock City.
Comic book fans, we need some... Justin, you got some good comic book questions? We can easy, like, quick answer comic book questions?
Who were the original team members on the X-Men?
Come on.
His hand went up first.
First
his
one went up. First hand.
Scott, no, hold on.
Don't give it away.
Yeah, let him go.
Okay, well, he wins that one. We'll give us a second one.
Nice.
All right. Okay, so we'll give him that one. All right, what about you? You got another X-Men question for him?
Who's the original lineup of the Avengers?
Ooh.
He has to answer it. Let him answer because he had.
Ant-Man, Wasp, Hulk, Iron Man.
There you go.
Very cool.
There's no Captain America in the very first Avengers.
Is there any of these? All these the same price?
Even though the motion picture
all
was
$15.
Captain America.
Congratulations! You won
Avenger.
$15 gift right. card, guys.
And I ran a comic book shop for 3 years.
Nice.
Also, I know you're not from Houston. This is the Bedrock City Comics. They're here in Houston.
They actually, here in Houston, they also have a booth downstairs. They probably might accept it. I didn't ask them about that, but maybe.
Yeah. So, they're a good store. They have a lot of stuff.
We have one more. So,
one more comic book question, Justin, since you're the comic book guru out of our group.
Name all the Robins.
Who can name all the Robins? Oh,
Carlos, come on.
All the Robins up until Batman stops.
There we go.
Wait, spoiler, what?
So it's pretty much the whole Robin family.
Come on, Carlos, come up here.
Or just speak out loud.
Come up here, dude. No. Come up here. You have to speak in the mic or you don't win.
Oh, man, you're just giving him shit to say now.
I know.
I have to use the mic?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is local film director, producer, Carlos Tovar. Thank you.
Okay, so it was... Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown...
Uh-oh.
And then Damian Wayan.
All right.
Yeah. Did I miss one? No, but you said nobody passed because she was future. That's why I asked. Anybody passed?
I think so.
Yay! Plus, you were the very first one to raise your hand, so congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I think we need to wrap it up, so we have a sponsor to talk about, and we have to let everybody know where they can find us all over the interweb. So thank you. We're going to do this really quickly to our sponsor over at tweakedaudio.com. Great headphones. I used them today I did an interview with Frankie Benali downstairs. I used my headphones.
You said faster.
No, I'm going to do it really slow now.
Okay.
But tweakedaudio.com, put in the code MetalGeeks. You'll save 33% off your entire order, free shipping, and a free lifetime guarantee. And they work really, really well.
Very cool.
And if they break, you break them for any reason, they will replace them within a week for free.
Thanks.
It's awesome.
Tweakedaudio.com, MetalGeeks, and the code. So, get 33% off.
You're too long now.
That was it.
That was it? All right. So,
where's your booth?
Oh, no, you go first.
I go first?
You're the celebrity guest
you're
here.
Celebrity. Oh, yeah, celebrity. I am in the Microsearch booth for the rest of the day. I'm selling DVDs and posters for The Dark Side of Disney. Please come by. I actually can accept payments right now, too, if you want to meet me.
You want a wheel and deal? We can do it right now.
Yeah, exactly. I have to sell some of these before I go, or else I'm going to be very upset. So meet me over here in like 2 minutes, or I'll see you at the Microsearch booth for the rest of the day. Thanks to Carrie specifically.
Thank you for getting
me here, because this was great, and I'm very happy. I've had a great time in Houston.
Hey, thank you for coming, man. Loved it.
And then you can find me at Gray Bear Comics with the G-R-A-Y. Everything social media is Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm also in booth 1900 with Justin, and we're going to be there for the rest of the day. So come by, say hi, and if we have anything left to purchase, come purchase some stuff.
And what about you?
Oh, for real? That was what? The last one?
Yay.
Very cool. Well, thank you.
I didn't even get one. Did you get one, Dave?
Yeah, I did.
He bought his yesterday.
Dave was locatable yesterday. Hey, I had to work.
And yeah, that's me. Dave, we want to go ahead and do your spiel?
Yeah, you can find me on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at RedVikingDave. You can check out some of my artwork there and just kind of see what craft beers I'm drinking and what music I'm listening to and all that kind of thing. And you can also find me downstairs in the Artist Alley, booth 2333 at the Geekazoid booth. We are doing all kinds of stuff, selling artwork and printing phone cases live on the spot. And we'll do that for you today. And yeah.
But you have a customer in the room.
Yes.
He bought a Colossus phone case. That was awesome.
Bought a custom Colossus phone case from us. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
And so you can find Metal Geeks all over the place, metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Give us a like and give us a review. Lots of great places I don't even remember right now because I'm not prepared. like Metal Onslaught On Demand. We have ESO Podcast. We have Nerd Bong. We have
thousands more.
Thousands more. Yeah, there you go.
There you go, guys.
Metal Geeks on all the social medias, and thank you guys for hanging out with us today at Comicpalooza.
Thank you so much.
I hope y'all had some fun. Like I said, we're here for the rest of the day. Come hang out with us.
One last thing. We have this really cool it's a Bluetooth Captain Phasma
Star speaker. Wars stuff.
And to give thanks to somebody who does a lot of stuff for us, I'm going to give this to Bill.
Aw. We love you, Bill.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, so much, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.